Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to War Master Podcast, episode 182 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
Hello. We're talking about Warlord Open Day. You were supposed to come on and then blew us out.
Well, I did have a good reason why.
Well, I don't believe it was a good reason. So.
No, I needed...
You're having a reason.
Yeah, I needed family time. Yeah,
that wasn't the reason.
Yeah. Was it? What?
That wasn't the reason.
Oh, yeah, okay. But I really needed family time because I was busy with something else. On the other day.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. he had a choice of heads or tails, and tails was a song of game and ice, and heads was a trip to the lead belt.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'd be interesting talking to you about the main topic because I hadn't played a Warlord games in ages, so it's just like
Well, did you not paint all that 28mm English? Did you paint English for the pike and shot? Not the pike, the black powder.
No, French it was done.
Yeah. French?
French, yeah.
Only French, the old guard.
I haven't played that in ages. I haven't played a Warlord's game in ages. But I'm most interested to hear about how you got up to and the seminars is what I'd be most interested to hear about.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's the main topic You went to a Song of Fire and Ice and things.
Yeah.
Was it good? Did you win?
I don't win these events. No.
What's the point then?
Well, I guess it's a good game system and I was running an event on the Sunday. You went because your thing was on the Saturday.
It was.
Yeah, and I hadn't seen the family much during the week.
Luckily, I managed to sell your ticket to some bloke in the crowd.
It didn't matter to me that much. Thank you. But I wanted to spend time with the wife and kids.
That's a good thing to do. So.
Yeah.
You're never going to get any complaints from me for that.
Yeah. But. And so that was necessary to be done. And it was, because I didn't want to, I was away the weekend before and that was, what I needed to do.
Yeah. So Rid was very complimentary about song.
Oh, was he not?
No. He's really got off the ass, hasn't he? Well. Holy fucking moly. I mean, I haven't played it for forever since they said I couldn't use proxies. Wankers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wankers as well. So I just sell your fucking children to fund it, but anyway. You can't use proxies in a club tournament. Whatever. Anyway, so has it sorted itself out now?
I mean, it was being run as like an event a month, which was great, which had a lovely like regular scene going. But as you say, like nothing lasts forever. That Sunday event that we're talking about, it did make the numbers to run. So
that's good.
I was surprised because part of me thought that
so
it would.
So who won and what faction and all that stuff?
Who won that? Carl with neutrals.
Yeah. Neutrals?
Yeah, exactly.
Brown?
Yeah, did really well. Yeah. It's like,
I didn't know that was a thing.
It is a thing. Well, he managed to pull it off, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, fair play to him.
Because
Brown is like everybody has access to Brown.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Mm. But Brown. Do they are on commanders now?
In their last update, they changed the amounts of neutral points that you can have
in a list.
Yeah, in a list, they've reduced it.
Right,
which is what a good for the life of the game. Needed to be done.
You have to really restrict neutrals.
Yeah.
Because you break them, then everybody's broke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but there we go. Yeah, that was and so anyway. The thing is with our gaming club at the moment is, so there's a guy, I don't think you wouldn't have met him, but like Alex Fleet, who's been running Song of Ice and Fire, running Age of Sigmar events and 40K events.
At the club?
At the venue that we use to run, the Riddle Hall.
Riddle Hall,
And he's been like, he obviously... How easy is it to sell tickets to the most popular game system?
Not that hard.
Yeah, so they've been doing quite well. And as in he's been filling the room and...
Maybe harder with Age of Sigmar, but who knows?
No, I think he had more... he's had success with both. And it's just... I do look at it with a bit of envy. I'm just like, if only I was playing the mainstream system, this wouldn't be a hard thing to do. But never mind.
Yeah. I'm not sure you want to play 40K.
No, I don't. I personally don't. No.
Mm-hmm. I've got fears about this new reboot, Old World reboot, because it's
well, what even is it?
I don't know what exactly. It is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I know that half of it's going legacy, whatever legacy is. Hopefully it's not like the legacy they did with Age of Sigma, where you had to stand on one leg and have the biggest mustache and all that nonsense.
Well, I'd say learned, but maybe they never learn. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Because all the ones that they're legacying off are the kind of ones that are the most interesting. Like the Dark Elves and Skaven are getting legacied off, aren't they? And Lizardmen are getting legacied off.
From the limited amount of information they've put out about it, they're setting the game in a certain time frame where obviously Skaven existed, but were busy doing a civil war. So,
well, everything existed because it's the old world.
No, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they weren't like in the main picture. So I think they'll have rules, but they're not going to get anything new.
Yeah, but they had rules in Age of Sigmar for all the other stuff, all the Bretonnian and stuff. Yes, it was just unusable shit.
Yeah.
So it's not going to give me a set of rules, and then within 6 months you've got like new factions coming out with rules up the wazoo that destroy everything, like dwarves with Gatling guns and shit, like flying around in balloons. It's pointless, isn't it? It's like I've got my little skink with a blowpipe, mate.
When I see them getting played like 40k in Age of Sigma, I think it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, but I think it reminds me of like how War Machine was towards the end, where everything was fucking massive.
Yeah.
People with two colossals and a colossal and six. Yeah, yeah. What the fuck is this game anymore? It used to be like men running around.
Yeah, yeah. A tactical decision, like moving a unit.
Tactical decision. Yeah, not anymore. No. Just bundle forward.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's it. Remind you, you have such big centerpieces or armies just built of five enormous fucking big flying things.
Yeah,
I saw a colossal squig. In Age of Sigmar, and it was like a fucking beach ball on the table. What is this?
What it is? Well, what that game system is.
It's just nuts. The game's nuts. Mm. So, if it's going to just be that, but kind of taken back in time,
We don't know. Do we? I think it is ranks and flanks. I think it is them taking. This is my point of view. Is if they take the rule set of and blend a couple of editions of Warhammer together, it's still going to have the core problems that Warhammer had, that Warhammer does have.
But all game systems have problems.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's true. Yeah.
The only reason that 40K now doesn't have a problem long term is because every 3 years they reboot the fucking thing. So, by the time you find the problems, move.
So with 40K, they've haven't put out the first codex yet.
Rebooted again?
It's invalidated it. Like in terms of, so they did like a... did a balance patch or whatever they call it.
On the dwarves?
No, on the whole, because at the moment there isn't a codex out. For anything yet. Yeah.
Just a starter box with stuff in it.
Yeah, yeah, and rules for everything. And they've done an update patch. And what that has meant is the first codex that's coming out, which is Tyranids, is already, the points are wrong in it. So it's like, it's invalid. It's like, it's incorrect on delivery.
We don't write game systems.
They
just make models.
Yeah.
Pretty models.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited in some ways because I kind of like the fantasy.
I'll be interested to see what it is, but if ultimately it's like, I don't know, let's say it's let's say it's okay. This is a blend of Warhammer Fantasy.
Sixth
with elements of seventh or eighth or whatever.
I know, but it's second or third, whatever it is. Everybody's got their own.
Well, then, there's nothing stopping you playing Swarm of Sixth.
Well,
right
there
now.
Is. Who are you going to play with?
Well, I don't know, but like, if you can find someone.
Well, that's the reason nobody plays.
But also, it's like, if they don't do anything with Skaven, so it's literally the same models that are, 20,
that's exactly what it's going to be.
20 years old.
No, they've said. Exactly. Not only is it the same models, you'll just have the initial set of rules, the legacy set of rules, and then you're done.
Yeah.
Off you go into the sunset, sir, while everything else gets new shit all the time, constantly.
Mm. Yeah. There you go.
So, will it be interesting? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's better. At least I've got a chance of using my orcs.
I suppose.
They're not getting a legacy, are they? Orcs?
No, I don't think so.
They'll probably be like completely different now, like Ard Boys or something, rather than. Orcs were always my favourite.
Yeah, fair enough.
Helicopters, had it all. He had it all. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah. what was the next topic? We'll talk about what we did over summer. I went on holiday. It was all right.
Yeah.
Bit fucking hot.
Well, it's meant it's summer.
Yeah, no, we went. It seemed to be you were kind of trying to find somewhere in Europe that wasn't on fire.
Yeah.
It was just like Russian roulette, whether when you arrived there, it burned down. So we went to the Canary Islands and one of them was on fire while we were there.
Oh, lovely.
Not our one, look.
No, yeah.
And when you think it's like a volcanic island,
yeah.
So there's fuck all there. So I say, what's burning?
Yeah, well.
It's just nothing.
Yeah, like people. People. Horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is going to be the future. You either stay here and have cold, miserable weather, or you go and play burning Russian roulette in Europe.
Yeah, but if it's so hot in somewhere that you can't really leave the hotel and like till dawn or dusk or something like that, I mean, God, that would be a nightmare. Like for as in that would not, I would not enjoy that.
Yeah, and it's I don't think they were enjoying it when they went. Was it Crete was on fire as well? It was like half of Europe seemed to be on fire. What a world we live in. So you went UK, didn't you?
Camping. Yeah, the camping trip that Hannah's family.
You're on the camping now. You're not hoteling it and trying to do the day pass.
Yeah, but the kids love it.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah, it's like.
Have they got cousins to run around with? Oh, the dream.
Yeah, exactly. How could I say no to it? But yeah, that's why. And then also spent a week in Liverpool with the in-laws as well.
Okay.
So it's like, with that one I could work remotely for it. So that was, I didn't need to take time off for that one.
Right.
Yeah. But that was the two summer trips we did, which I feel, part of me feels like this is like the group of parents that we like, mums that we walk like the kids to school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they just seem to all go to like Disney World or Disneyland.
Oh man.
And it's like, and I just feel lame that like with my kids, it's like we haven't taken them abroad ever. Nor plans to, and it's like, but then Hannah said she didn't go abroad until she was 15.
Leave Liverpool till she was 20.
So I guess that's not. And when we spoke about like what would a trip to Disney World be like, or Disneyland Paris, and Hannah was like, I couldn't think of anything worse, and it's like, oh, I suppose, yeah, it's just I just feel lame.
Just feel lame.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Never mind.
Mm-hmm. Mind, but it's I thought we were doing all right going to Lanzarote, but it turned out everybody this year, for whatever reason, we're all going to Mauritius via Dubai.
Right. Okay.
I said, what is this? Mm-hmm. But apparently that was even cheaper because for whatever reason, Europe's really expensive. Maybe mm-hmm. like a Brexit tax or something. Yeah, yeah. So everybody was kind of going further away.
Okay.
For cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Not me. I hadn't heard of it. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else is next on
games there? Played?
Games played. Fuck all for me. Mm-hmm. Apart from playing a few games with Gary.
Yeah. What were you playing with Gary?
Not much, really. A bit of everything. A bit of nonsense. Dust.
Dust Tactics.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen
it? No, I know what it is. But
it's an abortion. Don't go near it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I've never seen a game so badly designed in my life.
Right.
Not
okay.
necessarily the original game.
Yeah.
But it's gone through four incarnations.
Yeah.
In about 10 years.
Yeah.
And every one of them's died.
Oh.
And now you've got cards and rule books and stuff, and it's just an abortion. And it's really expensive.
Oh.
So just forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. So a bit of that. Just a bit of random stuff.
Okay.
Right. Arkham Horror card game. Not much at all. You play every week, though, still, don't you?
I mean, I'm president of the gaming club, Barry. Yeah, well,
by default, sir. Have you been elected now?
Wow. Like, thanks for kicking me when I'm down.
Have you been elected now?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. You're official then.
Yeah. Thanks. So you just need to organise it with me, then, don't you?
Yeah, but you only play Song.
No, I play the game system that is there, that's there in front of me of interest.
Right.
Yeah, so I've been playing Warmaster and Song of Ice and Fire, which is cool. But if someone challenged me to something else, then and gave me the time to prepare it, then I could.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to be honest, say that the you working in the week, which is kind of complete change of you work like Monday to Friday now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like where we used to fit most of the games in.
Yeah.
Because I have like kid commitments most evenings.
Mm-hmm.
So. There was a time we used to play in the garage on a Friday night, so maybe we'd have to resurrect
that's
that
we'll
or
have
something.
To do. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Because
at the moment we're having to find weekends after you've been weekdays after you've been away at the weekend to kind of record. So
yeah.
That's been a little while, but hopefully we'll get another game out soon. Mm-hmm. People do love those power reps.
Yeah, and we've had some really nice messages by it about it, like, you know, which really, like, touched. I was like, oh, wow. Like, you know, so, yeah, we should. Really should.
But there's been a bit of a weird summer in that my kids are getting older. One of them's going to university, which is nuts. Mm-hmm. That's just bonkers. Mm-hmm. And one of them's got, I've got to visit loads of universities with, so it's just mad.
Did Rid, on that trip, did he tell you what happened with...
Jacob?
Yeah.
Has he gone to a university?
No, but did he tell you the story?
Which one?
Oh, that hadn't happened yet, I suppose.
Does he mind you saying?
Well, I'll keep the names off.
I've just said Jake.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, not that anybody here will know.
So a friend of ours took his eldest to visit a university on open day, but when they Bristol. But when they got there, our friend looked it up that his eldest couldn't do the course because he didn't have maths as an A level. You know, like, it was a prerequisite.
Oh, right.
So there was a pointless trip because
that's fantastic.
He can't apply and do the course.
Brilliant.
Because he doesn't have the prerequisite. And I'm guessing the traffic was bad because he said it was a 10-hour round trip.
Yeah, like, did it in a day?
In a day, yeah. There and back.
Oh, my Lord. Lord of God Almighty.
Yeah, it was just like... What? And it's like, I can just imagine the face there of like, they're like, okay, you know,
child number one,
like, here to look at this course. And it's like, hang on a sec, this says that you need this, you haven't got this. It's like, yeah, oh, I didn't look it up, I didn't check.
Such a boy thing to do.
Exactly. It's like
did you register for the, no, I didn't register for the old data. We're not here.
Yeah. No, so we're pointless being here. You know, like,
I told you, sure he took it with good grace.
Yeah. Maybe laugh.
Fucking hell. So we've already done Nottingham, which is all right. I've never been to Nottingham University. And then we've got, coming up in the next few weeks, apart from going to Sheffield with Grace, I've got to go to Manchester, Leeds, Birmingham and Warwick. Right. Strangely, Warwick's like really highly rated.
I thought she'd accepted a place in somewhere.
She has. Grace is going to Sheffield tomorrow.
Right. Oh, sorry.
Saturday.
Yeah, right. Oh, okay. Sorry.
James, my second. Yeah. Is going through the process of doing second year's A level, and now he's applying.
Yeah.
That's all nuts. It's nuts. The whole thing is nuts now. You know, it's you are the commodity at university.
Right.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
It's just like a revenue stream.
Yeah.
Milk. Fuck. Mm-hmm. And the pressure to get results is nuts. Like, the grades you need now are just fucking obscene.
What, to get into a course?
Yeah.
Well, does it depend on the course, or is it?
I guess to a degree.
Does every course need straight A's now?
The red bricky ones. Yeah, the economics I would never have got in. I think they were talking like A star AA or something. It's like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah, like,
I got A, B... C or A, B, B or something. I thought it was quite good.
Yeah. Not enough.
Wouldn't get fucking anywhere now.
Yeah.
It's just crackers. Mm-hmm. Crackers. Anyway, so I've got all that fun this weekend. But the amount of stuff we had to buy, because were you catered first year?
I was at you, because you mentioned that to me. It was self-catered, but there was a lot. No, as I remember, I was self-catered, but there was a lot of stuff in the rooms. There weren't empty rooms. It was like furniture, fittings, and there were cooking. There was you had to bring your own like cooking utensils.
All right, okay. Yeah. Maybe you had a more like this kind of experience, because I went, literally all I did is took my clothes and some bedding.
So who was feeding you at university?
It was like a refectory. You just
ate,
and you didn't have to worry about anything.
Oh, okay, well, that's nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I thought that was the university experience, but apparently it's not, and now it's a rarity.
Universities just seem, I don't know. What the impression is they are they charging you loads for not a lot? Does it seem like a good deal?
But the fact that the expectation is now you have a ensuite on your bedroom is just mental to me, because we had like a toilet block and a shower block for a fucking floor.
Like
20 of us sharing it.
Yeah, like a man. I remember my halls of residence had like a men, girls and boys toilet.
And a shower block.
Yeah.
I don't even think we even had a sink in our room, just a single bed and a desk.
Oh, right, okay.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a prison.
It does sound like prison.
Mm-hmm. It does. And a wardrobe, maybe. But the expectation is they're living in little studio flats with like shared lounge and kitchen.
Mm. Yeah.
But I don't know.
It can be a real luck of who your flatmates are, isn't it?
Well, she's going with a friend from school.
In the same
house.
Halls. Oh, okay.
In the same flat.
Yeah.
They applied for like adjacent rooms.
That's good.
Well, is it? I don't know. Maybe. I'd have liked to still kind of branch out. Yeah.
People that they're going to have to interact with.
Yeah.
But it's a risk, isn't it? You just know it's a plot like who they are.
Yeah. It's like a comfort blanket having somebody you won't leave the hand on.
I suppose so. Yeah.
But it's not as bad. Some of her friends are going to the same university as their boyfriend. They've both applied to the same university.
Oh, there you go. Love.
Suicide, that is. Yeah. Give it 6 months. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not sharing a flat or anything. Yeah. Nuts. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we've got all that madness to come. You've got all that madness, but it's many years away.
Well, yeah. Who knows?
Hopefully they'll go back to making it a bit cheaper for people who go to university.
Oh, I have no idea. Yeah, I mean, it just seems an awful lot nowadays.
The debt is bonkers.
I mean, like, how much debt is great? Do you think Grace will walk away with?
Oh well, that could be potentially a lot because she's doing architecture, which could take 7 years.
All right. Okay. I
mean, she'll be working for some of it, hopefully. But holy moly, it could be like. No idea.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. And then
3 years, you could run up 60.
So she could be walking away with.
I don't know. There'll be some employment, hopefully, in part of the time.
I hope you, for your sake, is. Oh my God, poor girl. Like that's a hell of an ask.
The minimum of 7 years.
No, that, but also how much debt that will be racked up.
It doesn't even make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Once you start getting past 60 grand, I mean, and yeah, lots of people don't bother repaying. They just leave the country and say, fuck it. I'll go and work in France or I'll go to America, if you're a nurse, doctor qualified, go to Australia.
Yeah.
You don't have to repay your debt then, do you?
I suppose not. Like,
happy days.
Okay.
All right, next bit. What are we on?
Main topic. Attention. If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
War Games Open Day.
War Games Open Day.
I don't know why I wanted to come, you know?
I'm surprised that you were so keen.
Like, I think because I'd heard such dreadful things about the GW Open Day, like absolute
Warhammer Fest,
whatever it's called now, abortion fest,
Q-Fest.
Q-Fest. Mm-hmm. It just looked. You were talking about Disneyland,
yeah,
and apparently it was like that. They had different grades of ticket, which involved different levels of queuing.
Right. Okay.
And, like people with super VIP tickets could kind of like breeze past the queues and stuff. Mm.
Wow, there you go.
Through but this was like, it's kind of, what's the word? It's kind of quaint.
I mean,
in a British way.
Yes.
But it was also like really kind of like weirdly organised.
Because the pictures that were shown of it, like I wouldn't have an idea how big Warlord Games is, but the pictures of it look small. Was it small?
No, I don't know, really.
Like, you tell me. Yeah, like.
Well, it's quite hard to describe this as an industrial estate, so they all look the similar size from the outside. Right, they're just a big oblong building on two floors.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they had, say, 8 in the design studio.
Right, okay.
Maybe a dozen. Well,
hang on. So they describe the day. So you drive up there, with Gary and Rid.
7 o'clock kickoff.
7 o'clock kickoff, yeah.
So we pick Rid up, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I'm up a little bit before. Go get Gary there for 7:15. Ring, ring. He's still asleep.
Still asleep.
Wakes up. I'll go and bang in on the window. He finally wakes up about 8:25.
All right.
Sorry, wrong day. You thought it was the Sunday.
Oh dear.
So anyway, we still got there on time.
Yeah.
So we got there for 10. Parked the car, parking an industrial estate.
There was quite a big queue. I was quite surprised how many were in the queue.
Like 100?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, right, okay.
Maybe. Yeah. It was sold out. Okay, so that's right, how I managed to... Because the guy was trying to find a ticket.
Oh, right, so some people turned up trying to find tickets.
Yeah, because they thought they just assumed they'd be able to buy it on the day, but they couldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, well, that's how I managed to sell the ticket. Mm-hmm. And we went in, we looked at the demo games. They were a little bit lackluster, if I'm being brutally honest.
What made them lackluster?
Just that there wasn't enough space dedicated to it. So it was kind of like a couple of marquees. One of the marquees had stock in it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like you were kind of in between the stock. The tables were in the middle and the stock was around the outside.
Right, okay.
They did really good, because some people might not know what games they do, but they did a really good bolt action table.
Yeah, wasn't that someone's personal?
Yeah, I think table? It was like a some kind of charity.
Yeah.
So maybe he's been to Salute with it and stuff, because it looked like a really impressive table.
Yeah, and that was made by a YouTube channel, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, no, is this Normandy like table?
Yeah, I think it was for cancer or kids cancer or that kind of stuff. Yeah,
yeah, and you could play on that. Was that just set up to look at?
It was just demo. There wasn't really room for. There was one table you could play, and then they have a couple of games that don't really look that impressive on the table. Like they had the Victory at Sea
which
kind of looks a little bit two dimensional.
Wow, I mean, Victory at Sea, like. The issue, so problem with Victory at Sea is
apart from how fucking expensive it looked.
I mean, well, yeah, they're little ships.
You know, like, they weren't cheap ships.
They're not cheap little ships.
Like 20 quid for one destroyer or whatever it is,
must have been a battleship
or whatever. Like, one little ship.
Anyway, my point is okay. So World War II, like I'm going to generalize, but World War II naval power,
right?
Like naval battles. What stands out about it, like?
Air power?
Yeah, and it was...
Do they have air power?
Well, there is air power, but it's like, there wasn't... It was basically, like, Germany couldn't have a high seas fleet because it would get beaten, so there wasn't that many battles.
Right.
And it's like, so they... And, like, you know, so they go to a U-boat system, and then, like, and there was, again, like, Japanese and America was, like, decided in the air. You know, like, so it's like, basically... They've done more ships than existed in like history, like as in okay, like, to make more of a game of it, but it doesn't.
But what is the game?
Well, it's World War II battles at sea.
But they didn't really fight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like
the fleets didn't fight. Trafalgar.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, it's a shame. It's like I tried it and I wanted to love it. But as a game system, but it was a bit limited to my mind. Like, you know, there was, you know, the roles of ships had a certain your battleship was, you know, okay, this is what it's got to do. But, and it's like, and what does a destroyer do against a battleship? And it's like, so it's like, okay, so what am I targeting here? It's like, that middle, there didn't seem to be any real place in the game system for like that middle, like a cruiser. Like, what does a cruiser do? Well, it gets bullied by destroyers or blown up by a battleship. What does it actually do?
And also, so as a spectacle, you're looking at a big blue sea.
Yeah, yeah. There's no board. Scenery, is there?
Well, why would there be?
Yeah,
well,
there'd never be scenery. Like,
giant aircraft coming, can't go in here.
It's a high seas fleet. Like, there's going to be no land here.
Like, and also, the scale's like completely bonkers because they'd need, like, miles of distance between them, even at this scale, but they can't really have it.
No.
So I'm sure ranges are irrelevant in the game.
I mean, again, the ships are much bigger on the table than they would be to the ranges of stuff. Yeah,
because it would have to be. Otherwise, like you'd need like they fire fucking miles the guns on a fucking
map. Yeah over the horizon. You know, like as in they're limited by what they could see most of the time. The guns could fire further than they could see, like over the horizon.
Yeah, I was at a fort in. It's not Tilbury Fort. It's another fort further out, like Felixstowe or somewhere. I should be able to remember, and I can't. But they basically had cannons there that were firing even like hundreds of years ago, firing fucking miles, miles. the shells were as big as you.
Yeah.
Took like 12 people to load the fucking thing.
You can imagine.
Yeah. And then you'd imagine in like World War II, they were firing fucking miles.
Yep.
So that game doesn't really... I mean, no. I've never been interested in it. I looked at the price of the models. The starter kit's all right, but the individual models look way too expensive.
I mean, also, the book, the Victory at Sea book is a lovely thing, but it does show you like just how many different classes of ships and there were. Like the Royal Navy.
What difference does it make?
No, I'm saying, but they can't possibly release them.
Yeah, but what difference do they make?
I suppose not much, actually. Yeah, I mean, like
they got this like when they got you do black powder. No, sorry, no, but bolt action.
Yeah.
And it, just the guns are just lumped together, aren't they? It's like a strength 8 gun, a strength 9 gun, medium gun, big gun, whatever. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make any difference, does it?
No.
Mm-hmm. Once they get to a certain scale. Mm-hmm. So, and then they've got this weird Wings of War variant. I don't know what that's called. Like a aeroplane fighting, dog fighting thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's called. Red something or...
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's like, meh.
Yeah. So you're not selling this so far.
No, I don't, well... But they've got some games that I do kind of relate to. So they've got the Hail Caesar and the all the Warmaster derivatives, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Hails, because your Black Powder, not Black Powder, your Bolt Action is a different game system. It's kind of like loosely 40K-ish based, isn't it? Kind
sort of,
supposedly.
Yeah.
But then there's all the Warmaster successor games. There's kind of Hail Caesar, Black Powder, Pike and Shot. And then they've got the epic versions of those.
Yeah.
Which do look amazing on the table.
I don't know how would you ever
This guy was trying to... And I shouldn't really rag on him, because people will be able to find out who he is. It's the guy that wrote the books.
Right, okay,
For the epic versions. Yeah, yeah. And he was there demoing the games and stuff. And I was saying, like, mate, there's just too much painting here. Yeah, this is crackers.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, you can knock a unit out in an hour. I said, no, you can't. That's like 80 miniatures.
Yeah.
You're not picking 80 miniatures in that. No, sir, no.
Not.
You can't even base them. The basing looks just as horrible. Because one of the problems with Warmaster
is basing.
It's a fucking pain in the arse. Getting your little brush down between the fucking... And you've got to do it. You've got to mount them and then get your brush in.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's exactly the same with this. And for some reason, it's 13.5 mils, so you can't use your other stuff from another scale. And maybe you could take the rule set and use it with like 6 mil stuff or 10 mil stuff or whatever. We've done a bit of that. At black powder level, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, which was cool. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
That was good. We should do that again.
Yeah. But I'm, even that's not painted, and I don't know if it ever would be fully painted.
I mean, it's no, not really.
But you're talking the differences there. With the skirmishers, you're only on like 5 a base or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the regiments, you're on, what was it, 10 a base.
10 a base.
And so that's potentially a large unit's 40, but a normal unit's 30 miniatures. 30, but that's still half of what you're talking about. It's 13.5 mil. Yeah. And 13.5 mil is like almost 15 mil for how much detail you have to put on them.
Yeah.
It's just everything about it is just too much. Yeah. Just too much effort, too much work. The game itself's probably fine.
Yeah, no.
Because we were playing it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
All we did was just half the distances.
Yes, exactly.
But apparently, what the guy said is just use centimetres instead of inches. Yeah. And it works even better, which it probably does. Mm-hmm. Just some of the ranges are really short. Like the cannon shoot like 8 centimetres or something nuts.
Like,
but they were basically not worth taking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that the epic stuff looked good. And the epic... they did epic American Civil War. That looked good, although it's a bit like, it reminds me a bit like World War One. It's like what is the, everybody's got the same shit, haven't they? And nothing that really does point. Anything different.
Well, that's the point of it, American Civil War,
It's because they're like it's almost like the Vietnam War without the Americans, isn't it? They're just using the same shit.
Well, yeah.
Just different tactics, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Different allies, because I guess they've got the one side of the French and the other side of the English, and I don't know which side the Irish were on. Probably fighting both fucking sides, probably.
Well, so what else were you seeing there?
They're talking about a Hail Caesar version of that. I don't know if that would be good.
That could be, that could be.
Epic Hail Caesar.
Epic Hail Caesar, it might be,
Well, I haven't played Hail Caesar, I mean, that might get me into it, because you could imagine you'd be able to port in at least some of the human...
Yeah, that'd be strolling very similar to like Warmaster Ancients, wouldn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to wait and see. I think that was it. I think that was it for going round, seeing the... They had a really big Pike and Shot table, but it was a little bit low-key.
Yeah.
I think the problem is you kind of compare everything to GW, you can't really do it.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose. Yeah, yeah.
It's not the same operation, is it? I mean, I'll spoil it now and say we finished the day at GW, we're going around the exhibition, and they've got like a foodery and you can get beer and shit. Yeah, yeah. And like,
it's Warlord didn't have anywhere to eat.
But they had like a burger van outside.
Like a vendor.
Yeah, a vendor.
So not.
Well, you couldn't really expect them to have a bar,
of course,
could you?
No, because
and a gaming venue and an exhibition.
Yeah. No, of course you can't. Yeah.
Yeah, of course you can't. So it's quite difficult to compare because
how close are they to each other then? How close?
Oh, very close.
Like Warlord Games to like.
90 seconds drive, a minute.
Is that
drive.
It?
Yeah.
So you can almost see each other.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, well, no wonder you did it then. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So. I think Warlord Games, there was some conversation recently that John Stallard, the owner, had sold a quarter of the company to Hornby recently for $1.25 million. So that puts the company worth, say, $5
million. Yeah.
Whereas GW was worth $2.5
billion. Yeah, exactly.
So listed on the FTSE.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like you're not really comparing eggs are you?
It's not the same, yeah.
No, but I think that they do punch their weight.
Yeah.
Warlord.
Mm-hmm.
They do push sell out.
So tell me about the seminars.
Right, so seminars. First seminar was they've all come from GW. Everybody in that company seems to have come from GW or had some history with GW. So there's John Stallard, who I presume worked for GW in some kind of, he talked about retail management, so maybe he was like the head of retail operation or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe when you were there, or maybe after.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there was some fella, Paul, somebody who runs...
Sawyer.
Yeah, maybe. He runs the retail operation now for Warlord. Mm-hmm. And talking about the millions of different releases they've got coming.
Right.
And they do have a lot of stuff coming. I mean, they've gone into Doctor Who. They've gone into... What was it? Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd. Mm-hmm.
And they were saying that how they were tied to... With Judge Dredd, they had to do a Judge Dredd release and then an offshoot release. So they had to do, something related but not Judge Dredd.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So they were kind of bouncing in and out. And I don't know how successful that is. You know,
I mean, if a criticism I would say of Warlord Games is that they diversify too much, I guess, in terms of they have too many different systems that they like, they'd be better off having less and focusing more personally. But
right.
But I guess what are they known for?
Historicals.
Bolt action is, that must be what they're most.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
For.
So the people were asking, when's the third edition coming out?
Yeah, so they've already trod that ground, haven't they? Like, they've done a first edition of Bolt Action, they're working their way through the second edition, and it's like, well, but it's World War II, you've seen it. Like, they can release, better plastic models for a range, but you've seen them before, haven't you? Like, it's, because it's World War II, there's, like, you can't invent new things. No one's seen these guys before. Yeah, because it's historical.
Yeah. Which also means that the miniatures are available anywhere, and you're playing in a scale that everybody else sells.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's a third edition coming at some point, but there was no real rush to it. They had a tank battle game, which reminded me of a game. I couldn't remember who did it, but I found out now Battlefront did a game.
All right. Okay.
That was basically, maybe it was two. Some in Panzer IVs against three Shermans in a box set called fucking Tanks or something. Whatever. Tanks. They're going to do their own Tanks game.
Yeah.
And it's going to start with, like, I think it's like 3-on-3 or like that. It didn't really get my juices going because a small-scale tank battle, it's like...
Exactly.
And then they were saying that they'd try and find a way to make the points work, that you could have tigers fighting Shermans, but could you really?
Not really.
Or Jag Panthers or something, gaming monster.
If there's any distance on the table, then the tiger will surely win. mustn't it? Really? But if you can't replicate like air power, like the thing that actually knocked the tiger out, or the tiger just simply malfunctioning,
or some kind of combined arms or something, because it's just like tanks.
It's just tanks. Well, then the tiger surely must win.
Yeah. So, and also one of the things that he did mention, which was like a vagary of that kind of game system, is that tanks tended to come in like batches of the same tank.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have like mixed armor. It would just be like a Sherman company or a Tiger company or whatever it is. Yeah. So It would be a bit weird if you had like kind of
a single of this, a single of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Historically, but I mean, who cares? I mean,
who cares?
You've got to, the game's got to be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Worth playing.
It's not worth being played, is it?
They bought in house because they've kind of got their own little, not Forge World exactly, but they've got their own little separate company where they put IP that they're not currently using. Or like they're farming out for somebody else to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got like Dust Tactics, mm-hmm. like a weird Second World War bolt-on for bolt action. Okay. I don't know if you've seen this game.
Oh, Dust, you're calling Dust Tactics, yeah.
No, so like for bolt action,
yeah.
There's like a weird Wars version that bolts on. So you've still got your normal infantry and shit. So you've got your normal army,
yeah.
And then you bring some weird shit.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So the Germans have zombies, and, and then you have like fighting robots and shit. I don't know if you've seen this, but
they're gone.
Unbelievably expensive, the kind of weird bits, £70 for a tank. And it's like, easy now. Hold, it was a Tesla tank, so it was all resin and stuff. But that's like, whoa, that's GW prices. Yeah,
well, exactly. If you think it's only GW, will charge you a lot for what you were getting. Well, others will as well.
Yes, I'm sure they will. They'll charge you what you're willing to pay.
What you're willing to pay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so £70 is too much for me. So I would be interested if they rebooted that game because I've got a bolt action army, and you could buy some extra bits to go with it. Like, but it can't be like Lular prices. It can't be like GW prices.
Yeah. I mean, we spoke about bolt action before. It's like it does have what is recognised as one of the best game mechanics, the dice in the bag mechanic. That's a really good mechanic. But the problem is because the way where it's pitched at, like on the table, is that you just get these units that are optimized for that game system. So you have like a flamethrower team running around in a Jeep, for example, and it's like because it's really good.
Yeah,
you know, like
so everybody's got one.
So that's what you see on the table, and it's like so it's not it's an historical game system, but it's not these you know you're cheating yourself if you root it like if you try to be too. As accurate as you can be, to what would this force look like on the table?
A good example of this is like you can have armor.
Yeah.
In you got like 1,000 points to spend, and armor's really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But it can only either shoot its big gun or its machine guns.
Right. Okay.
And most of the time, the best you're going to do is hitting on a 4.
Yeah.
So if you miss.
Yeah.
And there's only like 5 or 6 shots in a game. Yeah. You miss them all, that's it. You've done nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So what Rid the Cheesemeister does is get a really cheap shit tank with a load of machine
guns.
And just runs around mowing down infantry.
It's good enough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, points no, back
but,
every
but that
day.
Tank, but that tank is good enough like for that role.
Oh, it's like, easily good enough for that role.
Yeah.
Instead of shooting one dice, you're shooting like 20 dice a turn.
Of course yeah.
If it gets popped, it gets popped.
Yeah, it gets popped. No problem. Whatever.
So...
Right, anyway, so you're talking about the seminar.
So, one other thing he said there was that the games, because you brought up the bolt action, the games that span off out of that, like the Warlords of Erewhon and the Gates of Antares or whatever, the sci-fi versions, they've been put out to pasture.
Already? Oh, dear. Right, okay.
Effectively, in this other company.
Yeah.
That may or may not
Didn't
do
last
something.
That long. Yeah.
But the problem with those games is that
who are they selling it to?
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Unless you spend a lot of money world building, and deliberately Rick did not world build with that Erewhon. It's like completely the opposite of that. We're not going to give you any. You build your own world.
Yeah.
But the problem is that lots of people want a world to play, and they want it. They want the bath run.
Yeah.
They don't want to have to run their own bath. They want to just get in. It's nice and warm.
Mm-hmm.
There's other people. You share the experience. You're talking bullshit about Skaven and cheese guns and...
So, did they have anything else big? Those two were saying that similar. Or should we move on to the main event? The main event.
You say that, but the main.
This would have been the reason for me to.
Well, this kind of
when I heard that you were there in the seminar with with Rick Priestley.
But there was no guarantee he was going to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't advertised. Yeah, assumed he'd be there.
Yeah. But that would have been for me the reason to have gone. Like, as in. That would have been the thing I would have most looked forward to.
Well, I was hoping I'd bump into it,
yeah.
But we didn't get to bump into. We didn't get to chat to him, but he did quite a long seminar, about an hour.
So tell me about it.
But the problem was, he had nothing to say.
What did he talk about? So it was just rambling.
No, it was those questions.
Oh right, so he just turns up. He turned up and they were just...
Sits down and then they just opened the invite questions.
Ah, okay. Well, what were the questions?
Well, there's an hour's worth of questions, Paul. Hopefully there's a video and they're going to show it. I mean, I asked him a question about game.
Well, you were there in the room. What do you remember? Like, what stood out to you about it?
Somebody asked him what he was most proud of.
Right, yeah.
And he said Warmaster.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I mean,
that was... I'd have stood up and clapped at that point.
Well done.
Anyway.
Yeah. And he has written some big things.
Yeah, it's a massive thing.
He wrote Rogue Trader, the original.
So, did he just one word that answer, or did he say why he was like most proud of that?
I think because I don't want to say vanity because that's not the right word, but it was novel.
Yes.
And he deliberately said that he made the game novel in that everything within the game he invented from scratch.
Yeah, yeah.
So every mechanic.
His baby. Yeah.
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 Which I don't think Road Trooper had been.
Road Trader.
Yeah. I think, apart from the name, a lot of it was kind of like some group thing. And kind of, apparently the game he invented for Road Trader isn't the game that was released. In fact, that game's never been released. It was more like a space exploration game.
Right.
Where you're kind of building a ship and...
Right. It's quite different. It's quite different.
Just a little bit different. And he said that's the game that he's always wanted to make, but it's never been made.
Was
the original game he made, Rogue Trader, that didn't become Rogue Trader.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's lovely to hear that he said he's most proud of Warmaster.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think he's still happy that there's still a community.
Still a community.
Because lots of these games, even games like we've said that Warlord games have done recently.
Yeah.
It's difficult to get get momentum.
Yeah.
Like even you've talked about Song. It's gone from 24 players.
Right,
to
it's
eight.
A microcosm of like, you know, a scene in a town in a city in England, one city. Yeah, but go on. Yeah.
Or you talk about War Machine, where you went from having hundreds of players to now fuck all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas War Master, just on its own, on the strength of its game design, has lived for 23 years and still going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And still having people spend time and effort making it better.
Yeah,
true. Which is...
Did you ask Rick a question?
Yeah, I did, but it was quite a technical question about game design and balance.
No. So you had a chance to address God.
I did, because I'm toying around with the game.
Right. Okay.
I've designed a few games that I've just not been happy with.
Yeah.
I was talking about... So I wanted to ask him how he makes a game balance without being boring. Because that's the biggest... we've always often talked about chess is balance, but it can be quite boring. Because it's the same fucking game every time, isn't it?
Well, it's the advantage of who goes first, and that's it,
And you've talked about Guild Ball, how it was just one scenario. And
my opinion.
Or whatever it is. So it's how do you make a game interesting, but then it's balanced, but it can't be too balanced, basically.
Yeah, because there's a thing recently, like, you wouldn't have tried it, but... So a couple of guys, a father and son combo down.
Oh, Rid's been talking about it. The song spin-off.
On Bloody Ground. Which is... okay, I'll show it to you later. He talked about it.
He tried to run an event for it, didn't he?
He did. I don't know how successful it was. Well, it did run, didn't it?
It did run. Okay,
It did happen.
I mean, Rid is the... If you could get one person on your side...
Yeah.
He is the man.
He is the man. This system on Bloody Ground, and this is, you know, a medieval, like they've said it, you know, Saxons, Danes, you know, like, so...
So it's just a cross between saga and song.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And it's like, and to me, it's like there was no... All the mechanics in there are all from somewhere else, but they've not been... they've been combined in this unique way. Anyway, it plays quite nicely.
Okay.
It's like, you know, it's cool. But you're talking about, like, there's balance to make it design. So... The issue are like, I've like penned a list for like the Saxons. Okay, this, so it has like, the most you can spend of points on a single unit is like 15%. So, okay, right, that hammers that.
What a very fantasy old
school.
It's
very fantasy old school.
Yeah.
So it's like, right, so in your
20%
core. So in your Saxon list, it's like, right, so at the game is played at a certain point size, like, because that's all you'd fit on the table. And it's like, right, okay, so the most I can have is 18 Huskarls. So, yeah, no, 18 Saxon elite troops. I can't remember. And they're not called Huskarls, are they? Like, I forget.
It's a good generic term for like elite troops, isn't it?
So, but you wouldn't have less and you can't have more because you wouldn't have less of the best troop you can get. You can have one unit of it, and you can't have more because that's the point of the cap. Yeah, because it's a cap. So it's like, so after I'd written this like one Saxon list, I was like, I don't know how different I could make this list. I, you know, because it's like the most you could have is like a unit or two of cavalry, so you can't. But it didn't seem any way to, like, basically, because of the restrictions of it. And essentially, you know, like in War Master, you have the core requirements.
Yeah.
But imagine the core requirements really fix the army over 50% in terms of, like, of these, like, restrictions in build, which makes a good army on the table, but not much different ways to, like, not, like, then the playability of it would be the scenario or, you know, of...
Oh, there definitely are War Master lists like that where they kind of build themselves to a great degree.
Essentially, yeah. I guess dwarves are the most...
Dwarves or lizardmen or something where you have to have core of the army. You have to...
So, I hear what you're saying. It's like a good question to Rick, you know, like, as in, like, how do you make balance but boring, not boring?
One of the most interesting things was... I mean, it may be out on video now because they were recording it, and they have put at least one of them up. He was saying that he tried D10 recently in the Warlords of Erewhon and Gates of Antares or whatever. And he said that he'd go back to D6 now because it wasn't much of an improvement. Usable range of a D6 and a D10 aren't much different.
Oh, okay. Right.
Which is interesting.
Because I kind of thought you would.
The game I was playing with at the moment, like designing at the moment, is a D10 base.
Yeah.
It's going, well, why is it D10 base? Yeah. Is it just D10 base because I want it to be novel?
Because you want to use D10s, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how did Rick enter the room? Was it like, was there a smoke machine? Or like, did it come down on a beam of light, was it? Or like...
Well, he's quite an unassuming guy, isn't he?
Did you have a cup of tea?
Yeah. Super modest guy as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the kind of guy you really enjoy spending an evening with, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Just a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah.
No ego.
No ego. I imagine he's got no ego at all.
No ego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's fantastic. So I'm sure I can't remember more of the questions, but there will definitely be people have the weirdest questions, so.
Yeah. Will you sign this book for me?
How
many in the room that he's talking to?
Well, I was really worried because we turned up, and as I said, there was maybe like 100 or maybe 150 people.
Yeah.
And early doors, there wasn't a great deal to do. So we did what there was to do in about half an hour.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Apart from the tour, which comes later. Yeah. So we booked in for a tour at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd done the kind of looking around the demo games in half an hour because there wasn't a lot of demo games, but to be fair. And then there was, what was I saying? Oh, the speeches. So I said, can I have a look at the room where the speeches are? Because there's quite a lot of people, and I wanted to see how much room there was. And there was maybe like room for about 30.
Okay, so not everybody, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, how's it going to work if we're not here for 1 o'clock? Yeah. He said, well, you can't get in.
Can't get in.
So I think we went there at 11:30.
Really?
The first thing was 12. We were first three in the room. We just
sat it out.
Sat out, because we're going to sit in here, we're going to sit out there. Yeah, doesn't matter, might as well sit in here.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we were there from half. That's how keen we were there.
Front row?
We didn't want to sit on the front row. So they had like couches, two couches back, on the front row, and then we were on the second row, behind the camera. And we bumped into the, I don't know if you know this fella, Napoleonic Wargamer.
Oh, okay,
I don't know his name.
I think YouTube channel,
channel, he does Napoleonic stuff.
Yeah, okay.
He's got a really fantastic voice.
Yeah.
And as he said himself, he's got a face for radio.
Yeah.
Because it was fantastic. He was a brilliant fella.
Yeah.
So we were sat chatting to him for about half an hour.
Yeah.
Before the first
thing. Fantastic. Yeah.
And then so we had those two, and then we went on the tour, which I'll talk about in a second. And then when we finished the tour, there was another YouTuber. I don't know these fucking people. Mm-hmm. There was a guy who looked like Colonel Sanders from the fucking KFC advert. This big white beard and braces.
Right.
And I was like, "Who the fuck is
J.R. Martin?"
I don't know. But he was setting up like his cameras and apparently he's, I don't know what he is. I don't keep up to date with YouTube. Mm-hmm. We put a bit of stuff out, like I put a bit of podcast stuff out.
Yeah.
Not as much as we should.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
But then, as I said to Chris, when you get to episode 182, what is it that we're saying that we haven't already said? We could go back and re-say everything again.
No, but
it might be worth doing some of that because I'm not sure how easy it is for people to get the back
catalogue anymore. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, yeah.
Because apart from the latest four or five episodes, you have to go to Blackgate and dig them out of the vault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe it would be worth going back and doing some of the army lists again, or
maybe.
I don't know. how to get back, how to get into the game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 3D printing edition.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But one of the things I was talking about to the Napoleon Wargamer is he's got a resin printer.
Yeah.
I mean, who hasn't at this stage? Yeah. But he was saying that how much of his hobby time is just fucking printing and cleaning the shit and fucking stuff up.
Yeah.
So is the hobby now just resin printing?
Yeah, it's resin printing.
Am I just giving up on wargaming now and just resin printing for a hobby?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it does make you think, because like that the club last night, Rids was playing Conquest. Well, a game system.
Another one. Another one.
They really like, but the models look, I'll be honest, the models look awful.
What is this? Who's made this? Conquest.
Parabellum. Yeah, like
never heard of one.
Greek.
Right. Company. Okay.
But the models, yeah, it looks to me looked really bad, and I was like, it was
3D printed or
no. What they made, and I was like, if I played this, I'd probably want to print a, because if they print my own, as in go somewhere else, find alternative models, because these look terrible.
Mm.
Anyway, there you go. They're probably not going to happen, because I just, I'm painting stuff, but it just seems to, I don't seem to have much time to paint anything at the moment. Oof.
Painting.
I've been wanting to do this high off army like for ages, and it just takes so long to get anywhere with it.
Painting Warmaster these guys that do it to kind of a top level, Justin's, it's just insane.
Yeah, insane.
I don't know how the fuck you even paint it to a basic ass level, and basic, the fucking things take forever. Yeah. It could take a week to do a unit.
Yeah. Anyway, focus back in on where we're at. So you've
done. Well, I can't wonder about 3D printing.
No. So there's nothing.
Do you know War Machine? War Machine are selling the models 3D printed.
Yeah.
They don't even fucking cast them up anymore. They just 3D print them and sell them to you for £70 a model.
Nice, thanks very much. Like,
can you just send me the SCL? I'll do it myself.
Yeah. So, anything else you want to say about Rick Priestley?
He's just a lovely guy.
Just a lovely guy, yeah.
I think... One thing
How did he end it? Did he float up in the air or something?
No, John ended it for him.
Did some stairs come down from like the ceiling? A cloud
came and took him
away.
He just pulled his sideburn out like monkey and blew it. And the cloud came and he flew off.
Yeah.
It's weird when you see your heroes getting old.
Yeah.
He's not old. No. He's only about 10 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
But like you kind of the time doesn't stop, does it?
No.
Time doesn't stop. So I think he might be retired. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's not old enough to be retired, but maybe he is retired. I don't know.
Early 60s. Does someone in his unique position ever really retire? Or he can retire whenever he wants, Scotty?
Well, maybe he is retired. Yeah, maybe COVID did that to a lot of people. They said, I'm just going to retire. So maybe he just plays games and talks shit.
Nice. Not all good.
Drinks coffee.
What a nice life.
Exactly. Well, it's kind of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Must have 10 years younger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But,
cool. Okay,
One day. Because like he said, he's got a game that he didn't release. But one day we should have a Rickcon.
A Rickcon?
Rickcon. So just Rick Priestley games only.
Great idea. Yeah.
Don't know how many people you get coming.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
If you put 40K in there.
Yeah. That would be Rogue Trader, wouldn't it? Like, yeah.
Oh, nobody's coming to play that, are they? I'm not referee. You're going to referee that?
Oh my God. Like, what is this? The game actually needed a GM each game, didn't it?
Apparently, it was so complicated. Yeah, the character creation and shit.
Yeah, anyway, so you did that seminar.
And then we went on a tour.
What was that like?
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah. So they have a design studio, marketing studio.
Mm-hmm.
So they talked you through how they design different things, 3D design and three up design to make plastics and normal stuff to make metals and resins. And then they took you to the resin casting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just like drop resin casting, like kind of really low tech.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had this Warlord resin casting, which, have you seen those Sciocast machines? So they're like injection resin machines.
Right, okay. Yep.
So it's like a machine that just clamps the mold together, sucks the air out, and then fires resin in.
Mm-hmm.
So they got one of those, or two of those. And that's where they make the Warlord resin, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
But the amazing thing about it is recyclable, which I find is amazing, because resin isn't recyclable.
Mm-hmm.
So that means it must be really plastic rather than resin. They might call it Warlord resin, but...
Yeah, it's... Because
as far as I understand, in my limited knowledge of chemistry, is resin's like a one-way reaction.
Yeah, it can't be reversed.
Yeah, so you like it, yeah, mm-hmm. whatever it is, you mix the two bits together, it goes boom, mm-hmm. then it's fucking done. And it gets hot and then it's finished.
Yep.
So it must be a plastic, really. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they call it wool or resin. Mm-hmm. And then the Pewtercaster, which is some old Australian dude.
Yeah.
He was a cool man. That's well, I mean, that's where it's at. That was, and they had a big ass, maybe 40 kilogram pots that were of metal.
Nice.
on the gun. Yeah. Nice machines. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see the difference. So like the old school, so the old drop resin stuff that you could do at home. Yeah. That's like really low tech. It takes ages to kind of do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And make the mold and get the, you're taking them out one at a time and all this fucking stuff. And the Cyocast is a bit quicker, but the fucking metal stuff, you can bang stuff out in them.
Yeah.
I bet you could turn, I bet you could get 10 times as much merchandise out of a metal caster in a day than you could have either of the other two.
Wow. So how long did the tour take you? The
About an hour, a quarter. Okay. It's nice. So it's quite a big, and they showed us the dispatch place where they pack everything up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the warehouse where they, because the only things they don't do in-house are plastics, because they have to send them out to, I don't know, Regendra or wherever it is, and books, which I presume they get done in Poland or
somewhere.
Maybe China, but probably more likely Poland. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a good operation. Mm. You think, I mean, it employs probably, I don't know, 60 people?
Yeah,
maybe. Cool. Mm. So that's nice. Yeah, and everybody there was kind of like, not necessarily everybody. Lots of people, though, were interested in wargaming.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And had come from GW or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's a nice kind of family-ish business.
Maybe it is,
Mm-hmm. The other place that I'd like to see is Mantic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when that is.
I don't know when it is. Do they, or they do such a thing?
They do such a thing. I think it's earlier in the year.
So would you...
And I definitely would not do a GW version of this, because I have fucking interest in it. It's just nonsense.
Well, no, it's not unless you were playing there. Game systems.
Well, why would I go to this car crash of a fucking Games Day? Forget about it. Yeah. Games Day used to be even a mess when it was Games Day.
Yeah, it was a mess. Games Day is more of a mess now. But so, would you go back to do the Warlord Games thing again?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. Mm.
But if I'm being brutally honest, I would only go for the speeches. Because I've seen everything else, realistically.
Mm. Yeah.
You got some nice goodies. You got a bag full of goodies. Yeah. That was cool. Yeah. They were very generous. Gave me brushes, paints, and some sprues and some different types of miniatures.
Yep.
And a sprue of airborne or whatever. Yep. It was all very cool.
Yeah.
And the seminars were brilliant.
Yeah.
So I only got to see half of the seminars. There was one with Andy Chambers.
Yeah, that would have been quite cool. Yeah.
And one with Alessio.
Yeah, and that would have been cool as well. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, So I'd have liked to have stayed for all of them, but we couldn't.
Oh, because you were...
Because we were on the tour, so we missed the second two. So
could you have done all the seminars and then the tour?
We could have done the tour first, but we were quite late in the queue, and people went straight away and booked the tour.
Fair enough.
So it was what it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I'd do it again.
Yeah.
For the seminars.
Yeah.
And luckily...
Because what you're describing, for me, the seminars would have been the most interesting thing as well.
Yeah, luckily, I think the seminars will be posted online, so you'll be able to see.
Yeah, we'll see. But, but if you're there, and you get to ask your questions, then that's quite cool.
And it's not expensive. It was only like 15 quid. Yeah, and you got more than 15 quid's worth of stuff.
So it was a good deal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we went to Warhammer World and saw the exhibition, because Gary, one of the three that we... It was me, Gary, Ridd, and then Paul, originally. Yeah. He'd never been to Warhammer World.
He'd never been?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you had to see the exhibition then.
So you had to get...
That is well done.
He took his picture with the rhino, because you have to do that on the way in. Yeah. And they've really done a good... Well, the first time I went, the shops were shit.
Mm.
Now the shops... It's crackers.
Yeah.
They've given up quite a bit of gaming space, I think, to expand the shops.
Yeah, I mean, the events they run at Warhammer World like sell out very fast, but that's because they're just actually not that very big.
No, they used to have like maybe 128 tables.
Not anymore. Yeah.
But I did ask them if we could book at Christmas. And they said yes.
Right.
And I said, would it be all right to play War Master?
Yeah.
And the guy, the grunt, didn't have a clue what War Master was. He said, as long as it's one of our games.
Yeah.
And then it was in the exhibition, War Master.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there were pictures.
Okay.
The pictures of the miniatures and the pictures of some of the armies and stuff in the exhibition. So when we go, we'll be able to send them.
Yeah,
but we will have to use GW stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's only polite, doesn't
it? That's, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like that's their IP. Is there? Yeah, I get that. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine with me. Yeah.
So maybe we could try and do that at Christmas this year. That was always a good thing to
that'd
do.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
You'd be able to get some food.
Yeah.
Rid was going mad for his Bugman 6X or something. Yeah. I had a butter pint. The Czech beer's everywhere at the moment. I think it's. I don't think it's proper Czech beer, but I was having Stroppen problem, however it is.
Right.
Mm. So, yeah. And then we headed home. So it was a lovely day out, to be fair. Mm. Not too much money spent. Quite nice. Got to see like Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola, although the difference between them is a bit bigger. Well, in the UK at least, they are Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola. I would have thought that Warlord are bigger than Mantic. I would have thought, although Mantic probably do more money on Kickstarters now.
Okay, so the next thing here says reader email.
Oh, it was just the guy asking about when we were coming back on.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
That you sent to me. Yeah. Well, we're back on now.
We're back on now, right. Fair enough. Future.
Was he Canadian or something? And he was trying to punt. He sent it to you. You sent it to me.
Yeah, I sent it to you. Yeah.
Well, it was a screen grab. I think he was trying to promote an event. Was it?
No. He was just being.
Just saying hello.
Yeah, saying hello. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One thing I have been over the summer is I've been feeling a bit of imposter syndrome, if you know what that is.
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Because people only have one set of ears and only a finite amount of time. And the amount of people that are putting out podcasts now, it's like, holy moly. How does even anybody find time to listen to our little podcast?
I don't know. Yeah, like.
But thank you if you do.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, like, it's just non-stop.
Yeah.
It's an avalanche of podcasts.
That's good, isn't it? Like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's nice that people listen. Yeah. But sometimes you feel like,
I don't think there's another Warmaster one out there.
I'm sure there isn't another Warmaster one.
So for future events, for me, the next thing is the London Grand Tournament, which is going to have 24 players in it, 24 Warmaster players, which is cool.
Who's running it?
I'm managing three things, but Jim and Chris will be there to like help.
Are they doing the new starter event?
I don't. Yeah. If there's someone there that wants that, but I think it's just gonna. I think ultimately it'll just be end up being a tournament, like in terms of everyone playing the same thing.
You sold separate tickets for the separate events.
No, that wasn't a thing we could do.
Oh, yeah. So everybody's got an effective.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when they're there, they'll talk to everybody. But I strongly imagine everyone will just be, willing just to, play five rounds of Warmaster. Yeah.
Okay. So you're not playing on Friday then?
Well, they can do.
Because that's interesting. Because
it's open. It's an open
time
space.
What time are you opening on Friday?
12. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I've got to go to Manchester on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'm probably have a football match on the Sunday.
Yeah.
But I might be able to come on the Friday.
Oh well, it's open from 12. Yeah.
Open from 12. Yeah. But is anybody going to be there?
I don't know. Like it'll be a few hundred rather than a 1,000 plus on the Friday.
So if anybody's around on the Friday and wants a game, I don't know how you'll ping me up because I'm not on Facebook.
Well, the tables will be there. Okay. Like, they'll be set there to be used, yeah.
You can also always get us on warmaster.podcast@gmail.com. Like, the email. The email. So do you still do Facebook?
Yeah.
Is anything going on there?
What is in events?
In general, in the world on Facebook. I don't do Facebook.
Well, I know you don't. What do you mean, Barry?
Well, I know that Magister Millerstrom, do you know those
people? Yeah, they're
looking for a buyer. They're
looking for a buyer. Mm.
I hope they get one, because I don't want them to go.
Yeah, they're really good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the squeeze must be on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd imagine. So. Mm-hmm. So I just don't keep up to date on Facebook, so there's nothing going on that I need to know about.
I'm not serious. I mean, like, there's been a couple of people have posted up, like, events abroad.
The Polish one just vanished. What happened?
I don't know what happened.
I was on the verge of booking the car, booking the, and then it just disappeared.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So all right then. Mm-hmm. So we got the LGBT.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In about 2 weeks.
About 2 weeks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then after that.
There's another one in Leicester in December. Yep.
That's a Warmaster.
Warmaster, yep, is there. And then no fixed plans beyond that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll try and arrange a date between Christmas and New Year to go to Warmaster World.
Warhammer World.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you should call it Warmaster World.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think we can ring and book tables. I'm not sure. Yeah,
I think you can. Yeah.
And they don't even charge you for the tables.
No, I don't, that's something they really. That's something they actually. Yeah, it's, generally is a positive. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're not going to have the right scenery we need, but we can actually bring our own. Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes we did plan one that was like an Egyptian-y themed one that was quite
good. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
That worked quite well. Like, and the tables are generally big enough that you can play doubles and stuff.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we had maybe it was eight of us. Was it?
That
six,
was right. Yeah.
Six, eight.
Yeah, yeah, six, eight.
Mm-hmm. I think it was eight. So yeah, well, maybe we'll get off the ground.
That sounds good. Yeah,
be good. All right then.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're going to talk about next. We got the LGB.
Yeah, well, LGT will be a topic. Yeah.
I would have thought so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have thought so. So that probably be in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah.
And hopefully that will be we'll be able to record again.
Yes, definitely. I like this idea of doing a Friday night thing as well.
Are you available Friday night?
Well, yeah. That sounds good. Yeah.
Well, that'd be good. Mm-hmm. Right then. Okay. So that was episode 182
mm-hmm.
with Paul and Barry.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
Would you like to know more?